gather here this evening in Proverbs 24. Now, outside of the preaching service here tonight, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a church anywhere that's open, much less having preaching if they are open. Some are just having communion tonight. Some are burning candles, and most are just closed. And the reason they give for being closed, I'll go ahead and deal with this. They said, well, family comes before church. If you want to have a strong family, get them in church three times a week. Don't be playing this stuff about sitting at the house. We living in the COVID got all the backsliders world. And what that means, and I'm going to explain it to you, there was a lot of people looking to get out, and COVID gave them that excuse. Now they got a convenience store church. You know what that means? That means if I tell him to cut off Facebook tonight, they ain't got church. Yep. I thought about doing that too. But then they couldn't hear what I'm fixing to say about him, and I would never be a coward like that. Ever. If I cut off, it's because I'm fixing to blister you all night. Listen, just like when you're a kid and your dad takes you in the next room, whoops you so everybody can't see it, it'd be one of them type things, okay? I got Rode Umberger one night. I was like, tuned in to hear you preaching. He said, oh, it wasn't for the faint of heart tonight. It was only for our people. I said, I understand. I know there's times like that, but nonetheless, I've been accused of putting blood on the wall, so I don't want to get in with nobody about that, but... But if you look at Proverbs 24, verse 21, don't you notice a phrase here? My son, fear thou the Lord and the King. Do you get that? Fear thou who? The Lord. I'd watch how I made movies about him.
Yeah, right.
And getting these sodomites to play him and these prostitutes to play Mary and all this other stuff they're doing. I'd be very careful about that. I'd be very careful how I say I was doing that for the Lord and then go out and get a DUI for doing it. Won't call no names of Mel Gibson, so I got mine there. And listen, I know a lot of people tune into that stuff and they say, oh, that's just such a blessing to watch that. Do you realize you just watched the 14 stages of Roman Catholicism, what they believe about the cross, when you watch that movie? I preached a whole message on that one time. Somebody told me I didn't know what I was talking about. I said, I do know what I'm talking about. I said, where I went to seminary, that all the guys used to be lost before they got saved. And when they got saved, they all gave their testimony as former Roman Catholics. So I learned about Bible doctrine and former Catholicism for 2 years I'd ever got taught there. And I was okay with it. You got to all get saved out of something. You all wasn't saved when you was born, so you get saved out of something. And a lot of them come out of that false religious system. But listen, tonight, if you notice this phrase right here, he said, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. The signs of a great leader in every leadership book you'll ever read are going to be these. The leader comes in and he changes nothing for 2 years. You know why? He's giving them the opportunity to show him what they're doing works. And when it don't, in 2 years, we're going to fix it. I sat under a guy in Bible college. He told us the first day I was there, he said, they's fixing me some major changes around here. We said, why is that? He said, because I've been here 2 years. I don't like how it's been done. And he explained what I'm explaining to you tonight. You wait 2 years. If you go into a job, every job I've ever worked on where a new general department manager or whatever come in, they always come in and change everything on day one, and everything always just starts crashing. I worked in a dye house one time, and I won't call the guy's name. I believe he's a saved guy. He went to Clemson, so that shows you kind of what he really, you know. Just thought I'd throw that part. I will tell you that part, but... Within 2 weeks, we couldn't dye black cloth, Ben. Can you believe that, brother? Black cloth. We couldn't dye black cloth black. And you know what he said? Well, in the classroom, this is how they taught us to do it. I don't know what they taught him in the classroom, but I'm sure it wasn't that. There's only three chemicals you put in there. It was salt and two other things, and I can't give that away. It's probably, you know, top secret stuff, and I'd kill you if I told you. But nonetheless... He would walk around his office talking to himself with his hands, doing like he'd walk around going, this is free cell phone stuff. He just couldn't understand why the black cloth wouldn't come out black. And you know what's so bad? We had an order coming up for the 1992 Olympic team. Remember Michael Jordan and all them, Magic Johnson played on that dream team? We were making their uniforms, the cloth for them. And his quote was, and I'll say this, if we can't dye black cloth, how are we going to make that blue? He'd just walk around in his office saying that over and over to himself. They thought he was having a breakdown. He probably was. But here's the thing. If the thing's working, don't fix it. Now, I'll give you another one, since he's not a king. Remember January 21st, 2020? Somebody walked in and signed 46 executive orders to knock out the 46 executive orders been signed in 4 years, and that border down there went all to pieces. It went back to the way Obama had it, where it was a total disaster, and it was made worse. About a month or so later, somebody went down there and said, why are these children in cages? You know what the response was? Well, Trump did that. No, Trump stopped that, then you signed it back in order.
Yep.
Meddle not with them that are given the change. Remember that?
Yep.
I'll give you another one. Bill Clinton comes into office in 1992 under the auspices of change. 8 years later, another guy comes in. He was your savior. His name was George W. Bush. We all bragged on him. He come in under change. And then 8 years later, another guy come in saying, yes, we can. And what he was talking about was changing the face of America. But what none of the three told you was Clinton picked up where Bush left off. Obama picked up where Clinton left off, or Bush, excuse me, he was just furthering the plan. And the only one that didn't do that was Trump. And they said, well, we got to get rid of him. He's going against our world agenda. See, that world agenda is shaping up so somebody can come in and take this place over. These guys are so foolish, they don't even realize what's going on. They're thinking, it must be Klaus Schwab or it must be Barack Obama behind the scenes. It's somebody behind the scenes, but it's neither one of them. I don't care what you think or what you believe. There's somebody else trying to run this thing, and it kind of ain't nobody here on this planet right now. And before you come up and say, wait a minute, do you think Joe Biden's Antichrist? No, the Antichrist is smart, so don't accuse that man of that right there. Don't ever do that. But what we do find out is this Antichrist, as soon as the rapture happened, the devil possesses somebody. He ain't got that somebody yet. He's going to have a good 7.5 billion choices once that happens. And I'm giving a conservative number of what's leaving. And I noticed that he says, meddle not with them, they're given to change. And the reason being, there's people doing this stuff now that are not of us. They went out from us because they was not of us. But I notice again, there are them, it says, them that are given the change. And I want to preach to you tonight on why churches are not having service and expose the them. Are you ready? There's a them and a they. And them and they, number one, them are pastors and people in churches. These pastors are nothing but glorified Bible correctors. What they teach these guys in school now is the same thing they teach in the public school teachers in school in these major colleges around America. And what it is this: you are a change agent. You are going to bring about change. You are going to change things for the modern world. It's funny how the seminary and the college are teaching both the same thing now. One's teaching it to an educational platform, the other was teaching it to a religious platform. Your public school teacher, if they admit it, one told me privately, and I can't repeat this at the name, but know this, they said, we're nothing but glorified data collectors. That's all we are now. And you know what these denominational preachers are? The exact same thing. They want you to get all your people together and ship them off to a conference, turn your preacher boys over to them seminaries and them wolves that's teaching in them seminaries, teach them how to correct the Bible and stuff like that, because they are not interested in going forward for Jesus Christ, putting the gospel out and going forward for the Lord and all that they say and do. The reason being, them that are Bible correctors, these preachers, they correct God's word with education. And the way they do that, they want to take the clear, perfect English Bible that you got right here and say the Greek says. I'm going to give you again what they do not tell you. They do not have the Greek text. They do not have the original manuscripts. What they were taught with their little education was this. You get three or four Greek manuscripts, and whichever one's in the majority, that's the one that's right, and you correct this Bible with it. That's what they're taught. So how do you know that? They tried to teach me that. I didn't buy into it. I didn't let my education get above my learning, see. That's one thing you gotta get straight in your head before you ever go off to school anywhere, whether it's grammar school or college. Never let your education get above your learning. You need to check these people's references before you go to school there. You need to see what they're putting out. You need to see what they're teaching there. And you need to personally interview the teachers if you send your kid to a school. For all this bunch, it says now, you're not qualified to teach and homeschool your children or Christian school or what. Christian school education is just not the standard we got. Tell me what you're putting out. I mean, your teachers are telling by privately they're glorified data collectors. You know why? They're sending in videos for your kids to watch. What was it you're going to do again with homeschool and Christian school? The exact same thing. Isn't that crazy? We tried a glorified experiment a couple of years ago when the COVID pandemic told everybody to stay home. By the way, that was the wrong decision, wasn't it? Herd immunity. That's what they found out would have worked. But listen to this. They found out, wait a minute, not everybody has high-speed internet. And why is mommy smoking crack behind her kid while she's over there while he's doing his schoolwork? Oh, we got to get them kids back in school. We're going to overrun the police department. Remember that? Ain't that crazy? Meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not. These preachers and Bible correctors, they come in and saying, well, we got to do stuff to reach people. We got to get you on the right Bible. See, what they're doing is they're trying to get your Bible out of your hands. If they replace your Bible, then they become the authority. If they tell you the Greek says and you can't read Greek, guess who's going? You got to take the Greek and the English too. Two conflicting authorities. So if you take them before somebody, what happens? They tell you which one's right, thus making them the authority. Yeah. You know what that is? That's Roman Catholicism 101. You got the Pope, who's the final say, and he tells you which Bible's right. Uh-huh. You don't reckon they've been studying under him? Well, heavens no, they'd never do that. That's wicked. But they've listened to a bunch of guys that come in there from that crowd that's taught them all that garbage. Notice this, these guys, they correct God's word with education, they correct it with enlightenment. There are people who actually say in Bible-believing churches now, well, I had a dream about this and I know it's right. I don't care if you had 10 dreams, if it goes against this Bible, you are wrong. Amen. I don't care if you saw it in Technicolor, and listen, and Mary Poppins was there with her umbrella, and Dorothy was there with Toto, you are wrong if it goes against this book. Amen. You say, what about my dreams and visions? The Bible says it. Yeah, it says it for another crowd, not you. Right. We got God's word now. Amen. And here's the thing for you to consider. You say, well, why am I having dreams and visions? Well, probably all that food you eat late at night, them spices and everything else. Oh. Half y'all's addicted to that stuff, I'm afraid. And the toughest man in here still, Sister Whitney. I'll go ahead and tell you all that. We were talking about this at lunch, about the toughest man in the church. And that's the only one I know that can do what she did and not fall over. I won't call any names. But I'm looking at them right now that just basically would have done what I done. And I'm glad you took one for the team, brother. But listen, y'all had to call an ambulance for me on that. I'm going to tell you, I can't take it. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. When these people come along and say that I'm having dreams and visions, they don't know why. I'm telling you why. They're eating too much garbage food late at night or their own drugs, one or the other. Yeah. Uh-huh. God ain't doing that.
Right.
And I'll give you one better than that. It ain't the devil either. It's you. There's only three. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is the flesh, all that is. But you don't understand. I got to eat a 16-inch pizza before I go to bed every night and some ice cream. Well, bless your heart. No wonder you're having dreams and visions. It's a wonder you ain't throwing up like the Exorcist or something like that. But listen to this. They're correcting God's word with enlightenment. And then they're correcting God's word with enlistment. And here's how they do it. We'll not preach on certain things if certain people come to the church. You know what we need to have? We need to preach on them things and then people show up so they can get with the Bible and get with the Lord and get their heart right.
Right.
Avoiding things like that's how we got in the mess we're in right now. But these are Bible correctors. They do that stuff. But the reason they get away with this stuff, and you probably understand this, is that the people they preach to are rebels. And that Bible correcting preacher comes in there and exposes them for the rebels they are. The only problem is he don't care and they don't either. And when I say rebels, listen to this, they rebel with these rebellious pastors that's trying to change the churches, trying to change them into a nightclub and all this other stuff. And in 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, but he hath also rejected thee from being king. If rebellion, listen, according to 1 Samuel 15:23, is as the sin of witchcraft, that means it's similar to it. What does witchcraft and rebellion have in common? Number one, it's relying on another authority with another spirit guiding it. So what's that spirit they got? I don't know, but it's not of the Lord. I believe it varies from person to person. And let me go ahead and say this. I don't believe there's a spirit of adultery that's causing you to commit adultery. I don't believe there's a spirit of drug abuse. I think that's your flesh and that devil is tempting you to do all that. However, let me do say this. There is a spirit that goes along with that stuff, but they only come in by invitation. You reject this book, you inviting them in then. The Bible talks about unclean spirits. They don't care. They don't care what kind of rebellion you got. They're going to help you further the thing along. the leader that's rebellious, he's against the word of the Lord. So rebellion, idolatry, witchcraft all live together with rejecting God's book in particular. They're not seeking the old paths no more. Used to, we'd tell people, we're going to make a decision. We're going to do something for the Lord. Let's pray about it. Let's do what God says. You know what they do now? They get on the cell phone, call everybody in church, find people, enough people to agree with them, so they can rebel against whatever's going on. You say, what's going on? You take your pick. That's what they want to go after. Do you know that there have been people up here in these offices, up here in these denominational offices in town, secretaries come in, lost secretaries, live a worldly, wicked, ungodly life, drink liquor and everything else, smoke dope. They hire them up there, and they go in and throw all the gospel literature out, and all the preachers is applauding them. So how do you know? Because I know them by name. Why did they do that? Because they lost. They went out from us because they were not of us, according to 1 John chapter 2. You know why they're not sitting in a Bible-believing church tonight? Well, number one, they're not having services. Number two, if they did, they'd be so offended they'd pack up and leave or try to run the preacher off. Yep. If you wonder why they keep swapping outfits ever so often, that's why. Listen to this. They rebel because they're rebellious. They rebel with the rebellious pastors, but then they rebel just plainly because they're rebellious. God says in Deuteronomy 31:27, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck." God says, I already know them. You remember when the Bible, Jesus said this, there'll be tares planted amongst the wheat. You can always tell them, get that stiff neck. They don't bow to nobody. If I say, everybody, let's bow your heads, they'll be sitting there looking at me. Bless your heart. You know what you are? You are exposing yourself. Ain't it crazy that people would act like that? I've seen them jangle keys at me during invitations. I've seen them look at their watch while I'm preaching. And I've seen them say, looking, mouthing stuff at me while I'm preaching and all this other stuff. And you know what's so bad? It's usually when I'm talking about one of their gods is when they do all that stuff. All I got to do is go into Southern Baptist Church to preach against Billy Graham, and I've made enemies with the whole body there, and ain't none of them read his books. I've read his books. I'll tell you, he's wicked. He don't drink. He don't smoke, but his wife's never been a member of the same church he's been the whole time. You know what that's called? Rebellion. They asked her when she got saved. She said she's born saved. That ain't a saved person saying that. If the best I could do is produce a female preacher out of my house and a male preacher didn't have the lace sewed on his drawers, I'd quit. Amen. You understand me? I'd quit. And I understand you can't control your kids after such and such time. I get that. But one thing I do understand is this. He never rebuked either one of them for it. Ain't that crazy? He never rebuked his wife for saying she'd always been saved. I'd have got that next message. I'd said, you must be born again. He's telling you got to be born again, but he won't tell her. Ain't that something? Yeah. By the way, she never was a Baptist anyway. She belonged to a Presbyterian church. No wonder she thought she was saved from birth. Somebody told her that. Wow. Ain't that something? So you just picking on old people. They said this in the 50s, honey. This ain't recent. 1950s. And by the way, I preached on it from when I started. I didn't cut them no slack then. I sure ain't going to cut them no slack tonight. Right. So all of you that's watching saying, well, he's against Billy Graham. Well, Billy Graham's against the Bible. There's a book put out by a lady named Dr. Kathy Burns called Billy Graham and His Friends. You need to get that book and read it. It'll surprise you who he's in bed with before he died. Listen to this. They rebel because they're rebellious, and they would rebel toward where they're at if crossed by leadership there. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 4, verse 19, "And I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings." Get that word right there. "And that rebellion and sedition have been made therein." Even with a worldly ruler in place, rebellion was right there. And these same rebellious people that was there, they are alive and well on planet Earth today. We said, number one, they are these Bible-correcting pastors and preachers. And number two, I'm going to give you this tonight, they are given to following changes. Did your Bible say not to meddle with them? That's what it said, right? Now, if you're going to see what they're doing, I'm going to give you 8 lies that they tell. Lie number one is they change the Bible versions, and the lie is this. We're trying to make it more understandable. That sounds good on the surface till you look within the covers of the thing. Let me give you a clue here. God says not to take one word away. They take 64,000. That's how deep the rebellion goes. God says not to add one jot or tittle. The Amplified adds more jots and tittles and words than you can imagine. So knowing the clear command of God and seeing that in that light, there's no way I'd mess with them. That's lie number one. They're adding to and taking away from God's word at will. If you go back and study this thing about Bible versions, you find it all started in Genesis chapter 3 when you see somebody show up under the tree of knowledge over there. Yeah. Yea, hath God said. And what did she do? She added to it and he took away from it. So if you want to know who's doing it, man, his infinite lost wisdom and all that knowledge he's gained is trying to add to the Word of God, commentaries that correct the Bible. And the devil is simply just taking away from it. Oh, it don't have that in originals. I've seen the originals in heaven, he says. You know the devil's capable. You know he's a liar. They're not making it easier to understand. I'm probably going to do some messages in a couple of weeks on this and really get down to the brass tacks of this thing and put them all out here on a podium and let you read them out loud for everybody else, if there's a verse there to read. People criticize me for doing this, but you know why they get mad? It's the Bible in their hand, and it's missing 17 verses, and they don't like to admit that. So what they'll do is they'll run out and get them a new King James. That's the Bridge Bible. David Daniels in California wrote a whole book on the subject, showing how these reprobates get a new King James to get you old fogies with a King James over here to the NIV camp. Ain't that something? Oh, there's been a plan in place the whole time to get rid of this Bible. It's just now crept into the local churches from these schools they come out of. Lie number two, listen, here's what they do. They change the church services, and the lie number two is, we're reaching people. We're reaching people. People that would never come to a church like people that you would never go after. We're reaching them. Really? Tell me how you're reaching them. Tell me what you're reaching them with. Tell me your plan, if you don't mind. Well, we make the church look like the world so the world will come in and get saved. Can I tell you what they don't get? They don't get converted.
Right.
You know why they don't get converted? Because nothing ever changes. If you go in a church that is just like you, you will never change. You need to go in a church that's not like you. You know why they don't come to church like them? Because they're not like them. You know what will get them there? Getting saved will get them there. For a fact. And you don't, listen, right now you don't sit in the church where we get saved every revival and count 100 converts a year. You sit in a church that preaches the Bible and have the Bible-believing preachers come in here. And let me say this, non-Calvinists, every one of them, we thoroughly vet these people. And some of them get by us every once in a while. They'll tell me lies on the phone to get in here. Uh-huh. You know, we call them liars.
Yeah, right.
And listen to this. When they do this crazy stuff and they get all stupid like that, they say, we're changing the church so, you know, it'll reach the lost people. Amazingly enough, nobody's ever read The Purpose-Driven Church. Remember that? Purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church. So why do you think nobody's read it? Because they don't do what the guy in the book says. Here's what he says. Observe your area. Find out how people dress. Find out what kind of music people listen to. Blah, blah, blah. So you know what they do? They watch these contemporary services on TV and make them like Southern California, like Rick Warren, and they bring it to Gaffney, South Carolina, and it does not work here. You know why? This ain't Southern California. I don't want to say that they're different than us, but their lifestyle is different from place to place. You won't find us diving in a bunch of ice to go swimming. That's for that up north crowd. So why do they do that? Because they're crazy, that's why. That's why they do that stuff. You listen, a bunch of fat guys taking their shirt off and breaking up ice and jumping, you wanting a heart attack, ain't you? That's dumb. You already out of shape, you're going to jump in ice cold. You go out to California, you know what I don't know what their Waffle House serves out there, but I don't know if they even got one. But you go watch these TV shows about these people. They show up and they say, what do you want for breakfast? Oh, I want a smoothie. Well, help yourself. Get you one. It's America. You can have what you want. You come out here, they holler bacon and eggs. See, we're not the exact, we're in the same country, but there's differences in the culture lifestyle around you. So you try to take that and shove it down our throats, we ain't going to buy it. That's why I say they hadn't read The Purpose-Driven Life, because if they had, they wouldn't be having contemporary services with blacked-out walls here and a guy up there trying to go do like this with his hands all the time and have his little podium with his little coffee over here and lay a Bible up there he never looks at or reads during the week and have a little screen to distract you from the fact he ain't studied all week. You know what they'd be doing? They'd be coming here with a flannel shirt and a cowboy hat and boots and all this other stuff, and every song wouldn't be sounding like it's piped straight out of Hollywood. It'd be sounding like it's piped out of Nashville, Tennessee, with a twang and a steel guitar and all that, because that's what this crowd is out here. You get what I'm saying? Amen. They've never read his book. They never thought about that. But here's the thing. If all you're doing is trying to reach their flesh, you will never reach them. See, the spirit and the flesh lusteth against one another. That's what your Bible says. And when you deal with these people, say, we're just doing this trying to reach people. They're not trying to reach people. They're trying to be like their heroes. And that's bad. They're lying to you. Number three thing that they're given to change for is this. They change the Christian life. Here's lie number three. We want to be just like Jesus. You do. Just like Jesus. Three questions. How many money changers have you thrown out of your church? Jesus did. He didn't ask them to leave. He threw them physically out. Oh, we abhor violence. Well, your Lord didn't. I'm sure tonight if somebody coming here trying to sell you something that's ungodly in here, trying to rip you off, listen, I'm sure it wouldn't take much for you, for this bunch of rednecks here to toss you out. And that's just the women. You better watch out for them. But listen, question number two, you want to be just like Jesus. How many of you raised from the dead? Jesus raised people from the dead. You want to be just like Jesus? Well, Jesus raised people from the dead. You know how many they've raised from dead? Zero. Number three question, how many miracles have you performed? You want to be just like Jesus? Wait a minute, you want to look like a charismatic and act like a charismatic church without speaking in tongues and performing miracles? Tell me again how you want to be just like Jesus. Even they'll fake a miracle in them outfits. See, that's lie number three. They don't want to be just like Jesus. And I'll show you that from these other ones. Number four, they change the way the Bible is studied. And here's how they do it. Instead of saying, take this book, read it, and do what it says. It means what it says. It says what it means. Take it in context. Study the scriptures. Believe the scriptures. Obey the scriptures. Memorize the scriptures. Here's their party line. This is the lie. Only trust good, godly, dedicated men. That's a lie. That's lie number four. You're keeping up at home. And lie number four about trusting good, godly, dedicated men, here's why it's a lie. There are no good, godly, dedicated men. I sat in Bible college and teach how to study the Bible, and somebody always says this, Brother Jason, what about John Phillips? What about Warren Wiersbe? What about J. Vernon McGee? What about this one? What about that? What about this book?
That's right, man.
Before you go looking in them books, you need to find out what this book says in case them guys go wrong. Oh, well, them's good, godly, dedicated men. There's a pastor around this area had John Phillips in to preach before he died. He got up to preach. They preached that first service. It was a great time. Revival started off well. They go to Ruby Tuesdays. Remember that restaurant? Guy orders table wine that night and wants some wine at dinner. The pastor said, we don't do wine. He said, well, there's nothing wrong with it. He said, I'm only going to drink one glass of my meal. I do all the time. So John Phillips never said that. Might I invite you to read John Phillips' commentary on John chapter 2, exploring the Gospel of John, where he says it's okay to drink in that chapter? Said Jesus turned the water to wine, it's okay. Ain't it funny how only winos say that stuff?
Yeah.
Good, godly, dedicated winos. I won't even get into all these other commentaries and stuff. Some of them are good, some are bad. But you got to understand, these people are human, and they're not writing under divine inspiration
right,
like these writers are.
Right.
And if you want to know what God says, stick with what God says.
Amen.
If you think I'm right, test me by the Bible. I'll be wrong eventually.
Right.
I'll go out on a limb and say I probably made two mistakes today. And I'm being very conservative with that. But you won't know because you won't go check me out and see. You won't go looking to, just be quiet. You won't go looking, exploring the Gospel of John to see if that's in there because you're going to find it and it's going to be in there. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Now listen to this. when we get to looking at this thing here, line number four, about trusting good, godly, dedicated men, there are none of them. And then number five, what they do is they change the music. It's called Christian. Here's the lie right here. It's the message that of the words that count. Just listen to the words. I can't hear them from wanting to go do this while it's playing. There is a difference in music, by the way. Sacred music and secular music shouldn't have inroads together. They should be separated.
Right.
And by saying that, let me say this. I don't believe for one second that the words count. I think there's something else behind this thing, and nobody's wanting to talk about it. And you know what it is? These churches like ours are wanting so desperately to reach a crowd out there because everybody else is bragging about their church growing, and they want to get somebody in there. They'll play anything and put any kind of Christian words over top of anything to get people in there. She said, they do that? They've been doing it for years. They change the music that's called Christian, not the words, the music. There's an agenda behind that. They lie about that. They want a boogie. They don't want to be blessed. That's the difference. They change the methods of soul winning. Here's number six here. Do not say anything. Just lead the Christian life in front of them, and they'll get saved. That's lie number six. Can you tell you how that works? It don't. Jesus Christ was against lifestyle evangelism is what that is. That's where you lead the Christian life for somebody and they just, I got to get saved like them. No, they won't. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If they're ever going to get saved in faith, they got to hear the preaching of the book. And the crazy thing is nobody wants to preach anymore. The big preacher showed up. The big preacher showed up. There's a man that lives over here on Racetrack Road, told me, old Racetrack Road, right over here, told me personally, he said, I went to church, they didn't have preaching for 3 Sundays, I ain't going back. I said, hold up, what do you mean they had church, they didn't have preaching for 3 weeks? He said, they'd get up there and they'd all whine and complain about their big toe, please pray for me and all this other stuff, and God's blessed me, and they'd just ramble on them people. He said, the preacher wouldn't stop none of them, and they'd always get done at 5 to 12, and then when they got done, he'd make some kind of announcement and say the big preacher showed up. And they'd all go to the house. He said, I wasted a month of my life to go here preaching because I know I need the Lord, and they wouldn't preach to me. There's your example of what that'll get you right there. Lost people walking out of church without hearing the word of God. But they saw you lead a Christian life. It didn't help them. I'll tell you why. The best Christian you know, whoever that is, whoever you think that is in your life, they've made so many mistakes in front of you, they cry at night and pray God and beg God to forgive them for the sins they've committed in front of you, by omission or commission, either one. And they know they're at fault for things, and they know they're lying. So why do you think Jesus Christ said what he said about lifestyle evangelism, that it don't work? Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Not blessed are the paps which thou hast sucked. Now listen to this. They changed the methods of soul winning, and they changed the church name. Here's where we get down to it. We got to drop Baptist off the door. We got to drop Presbyterian off the door. We got to drop Methodist off the door. We got to drop Pentecostal off the door. We got to get all that off there because we're doing this so we can get God's people together. That way Christians will come. Can I let you in on a little secret? When the Antichrist walks in, he's going to appreciate all the footwork's been done ahead of time. Because he's going to unite them all in one world religion. Isn't that something? Have you ever thought about this? That's what that's leading to? You know, when we got Baptists on the door out there, I don't want somebody to walk in here expecting one thing and get another one. You know, when we got that banner sitting back there, I don't want to walk in here expecting one thing and get another one. This is a Christian church. We're a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Christian church made up of born-again believers. We're Baptist because that doctrinally has been the position of Christians ever since the first century. But on the backside of that, we're not Baptist brothers. We're not dumb enough to believe all Baptists are going to heaven. I feel sorry for a crowd that believes that, honestly. Have you met most Baptists? You know where I meet them at? I meet them over at the county jail. I meet them over at the prison. 95% of all South Carolina inmates at one time were former Baptists at one time. This is back in the 90s. I'm sure the statistics ain't went that much difference. You see, I thought they were Muslims. They convert when they get there. That's a gang they join. You say, you really believe that? Yeah, just say something to them. They want to fight you. You'll see. There'll be 4 or 5 of them line up with them. Ain't that crazy? Here's something for you to consider. if they're wanting to drop the name on the church, there's a reason why. They're helping somebody else that's running not only the White House, but the church house behind the scenes too. It is a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's lost people. Read Ephesians chapter 2, those first few verses. That's who's doing it. It has nothing to do with doctrinal positions. Listen, they say they're doing that, but we're doing that to get God's people together. That's just lie number 7. Here's what they could care less about that. It's about their ego. See, what it is, it works like this. They'll preach on giving and stewardship, because that means tithe, that means you pay them, and then you drop the name off the church door, that way you come in, and that way a crowd feeds their ego, and the tithing feeds their pockets. Don't forget I told you that. Do you know why Paul preached on that there'd be grievous wolves show up there in Acts chapter 20? He said, when I depart, grievous wolves are going to show up. You know why that happens? Because when a shepherd walks off and has to go or die or whatever, them wolves smell blood in the water, and it's your blood they're smelling. They coming in after you. Their egos would love it. But notice this. They change the way, they change the church procedure. And what they say is, this way is newer and better. How many times have y'all heard that and it didn't work? Oh, what we're going to do is have split services. I know y'all never go for a contemporary service, so what we'll do is we'll have that at 8:30 in the morning. Then we'll have traditional service at 11 and Sunday school in the middle. This is a very well laid out plan. I'm going to tell you how it works. People have come out of that movement, and people have come out of these seminaries and told, they taught us to do this because they're trying to take over your church. I wish every church member of town could hear this. I had a banker sit down with me. I come to the bank one day, and he came to me and said, I need to talk with you a minute. And I thought, oh, Lord, I bounced checks or something. We walked his office, he shut the door, and I thought, boy, this is bad here. The banker, the president of the bank has set me down. It's bad. He said, why don't you tell me everything you know about a contemporary church? And I thought, let's see. If I tell him everything, he's either won't know for a good reason or a bad reason, so let's just tell him the truth, right? So I began to tell him what I just told you about that splitting services. You know what he said to me? He said, my pastor is doing the exact same thing you're talking about. He said, I heard your preaching tape. That's why I asked. I said, what do you want to know next? He said, what's our next move? Remember 8:30 and 11? They're going to move your traditional down here at 8:30 and have the regular service at 11. Then they're going to eliminate Sunday school and back that thing up so you can go get your little religion for about 15, 20 minutes on Sunday morning and have the rest of Sunday just lay around and do nothing or go down to the lake or do all this other stuff. No Sunday night service at all now. Yep. Who taught them that? The charismatic movement taught them that. Yep. The Catholic Church taught them that. And now it's swept through these Protestant churches like a hurricane now. But what about our traditional service? Oh, that'll be gone for long. Yeah. If we can't get you out of your Bible and that old music you listen to, guess what we're going to do? We're going to divide the services and let you pay for everything while we sit there and enjoy your toilet paper and your air conditioning and all that other stuff. Yeah. Now you know what the real thing's about. They can't run you off, because if they did, they wouldn't be no money. But if we keep it going like that, then guess what? Everybody will be happy, and then finally we can say, well, we got to merge the services, and we just got one contemporary service. And we'll throw you a bone every once in a while. We'll have Mary sing Amazing Grace or something every once in a while or something like that, you know. But I promise you it won't be more than once a month. So who's teaching these independent Baptist preachers that? They're running off the meetings, these charismatic guys, and they're coming back with the spit out the bones, chew the meat business. Can I tell you something? I almost choked to death on a bone about that big one time. You'll never convince me that spit out the bones is the correct way to go into these ungodly Bible studies and these ungodly meetings with these ungodly people that's trying to teach you ungodly things to make you ungodly. Amen. That's the end result of it. And just because one guy gets one thing right... Well, they say some things. I know they're wrong about such and such. They're wrong about their Bible version, but the other stuff they say is right. That's what I hear. Can I tell you something? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is the foundations. Right. No other foundation can no man lay, which is Christ Jesus. That ain't how he said do it. Right. And if you destroy those foundations that he's laid out in his word, you won't be having a Sunday night service before long. Then you'll be canning Sunday school. And why have prayer meeting? We only have 10 people show up and we run 1,000 on Sunday morning. That's just a waste of turning the lights on, don't you think? What are they doing? They're programming you. They're brainwashing you to get away from God, get away from His Word. And then the secret agenda they're not going to tell you is this. All Calvinists trace their lineage back to John Calvin and the Reformation of 1492, where Martin Luther did that, right? Here's what they don't tell you. Calvin got everything he knew, everything he wrote about, is plagiarized from a guy named Augustine in the 4th century, who was actually the first Roman Catholic. All five doctrines of grace, as they call them. So if that thing come out of the Catholic Church, you got a bunch of Protestants over here. You see how we're going towards here? You're fixing to fit right in with them. And then there's this little crowd of people over here. Let's see, who are they? Oh, them Anabaptists, them Lollards, all them people that's been down through, been giving us a problem over here, preaching against us. What are we going to do with them people? Oh, it'll be okay. Just, we'll infiltrate them and make them Calvinists and swear that they've been Calvinists the whole time too. We'll call that crowd this. We'll say, your forefathers were hardshell Baptists. That's a Calvinist. My forefathers wasn't. Listen to me. There's a plan in place. The plan is to get rid of you. Okay? Now, knowing that, this way that's near and better is a lie. It's neither new nor better. It's been the same lie they've been telling the whole time. But see, listen. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 21. I want to read this thing to you in context. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Some of you caught that didn't end with a period, didn't you? What's that thing behind that? That's a colon, right? For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? I think we've seen the ruin of people that's tried to go this route already. We've seen them flip-flop for money. They'll go to recommend the charismatic crowd secretly, and then when they start doing it openly, then the charismatic crowd messes up. They run back over here where the money is. That's their calamity. God's exposed them people to you, and you don't see it. Why don't you see? Why can't you open your eyes and see that? Here's why. A lot of people can't because they're lost. They're following religious leaders around. They're following good, godly, dedicated, whatever. They're following good ideas, but they're not following God. God has laid out the plan of the ages in His Word. We go in the Word and find out what to do, and then we don't do it. It's not a problem of God, this book. It's us that's the problem then. We need something that rededication won't help you with. You know what we need? We need repentance. We need a change of heart, mind, and purpose that's going to lead to a change of life. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if God's people realize that you need to get away from that crowd that's constantly saying, change this, change this, change this. You know what we need to really change? I mean, in this building right here. You know how to help us? We probably need to change the carpet eventually. How about that one? Change we can all believe in right there. Ain't that a good one? You know what we need to change? We need to change these chairs up here and put the colors on your chair on this chair up here. That's change we can believe in. Now, when you find the fabric, do let us know, right? I mean, we've been looking for it for a while. COVID kind of got our supply lines out, or Joe Biden did. I ain't figured out which one it was, but one of them two's our enemy on that deal. Or that goofball they call Mayor Pete, that idiot up there. Why are you going to put a guy over transportation and all that stuff and don't know nothing about it? It's dumb. Listen, we probably need to recover the parking lot out there. That's change we can believe in. But we don't need to change the service. We don't need to change the music. We don't need to change God's Word. And we don't need to change a thing about the preaching, except maybe the way things are getting. We probably need an extra day or two of it. That's what we need. That's change we need right there. And listen, I keep reading this Bible, and I keep reading it over and over every year, and I keep running the same problem every time I get to it. You know what it is? It never turns out bad, or never turns out good towards the end. It always gets bad. And then I look around me and I think, it's getting bad. It's getting dark out there. I mean, it's getting evil. It's getting... I never thought that these kids would be subject to what they've been taught in school. Never thought I'd see that. We used to police our own back in the day. By the way, we read the Bible in school when I was in elementary school. Prayed too. See, you must have been at school before 1963. No, I had a principal that stood up against that crowd and said, no, we're going to do it here. He told me before he retired. He said, when he retired, he said, I guess they're going to quit it now. They did. They brought this little ungodly little blonde-headed woman in there, and the first thing she done is called me and the car rent pastor and said, get them church signs off this school property. Oh, you don't mean it. Ain't that something? But she smiled and she's pretty. She's ungodly. Ain't that something? I can't think of that woman's name. She used to sell furniture on TV for Brown's Furniture or Kimbrell's, one of them. Ungodly woman. You get her behind closed doors, you find out what she really believes. But thank God for people that I knew over the years, like old brother Lucius Jones up there at Mary Bramlett. I call him Deacon Jones this day, like that football player. He called me in the office and said, "I didn't tell you this, but once you start giving out gospel tracts and inviting these kids to church, you're the only hope they got. We have nothing here that'll help them." Principal takes over behind him. "You've got to stop that. That's religion. We can't have that." Went right down the drain. Ain't that crazy? Meddle not with them that are given a change. Here's what Jeremiah said. Don't you look over Jeremiah 28. We'll read this and we'll close this out. "You about to die. I'm talking about your favorite TV preacher, your neighbor, and everybody else. You can't stand it. They sitting at home can't stand it because they sitting at home. But the invitation is always open. You can come here. Ain't that right, y'all? Church is welcome. Everybody's welcome here.
That's right.
You can't be the youth director, but you can come attend church. You can't be the next Sunday school teacher till you show fruits of meat for repentance, but you can come here. You can come here." Jeremiah 28, verse 15. "Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, 'Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee.'" One preacher knew, the other guy wasn't called. "But thou makest this people to trust in a," say it out loud, "a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year, and this year thou shalt die." Here's why. "Because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." See, we started off tonight looking at this crazy thing over here in Proverbs. It's talking about their calamity shall rise suddenly. God said, "That's it. Jig's up." He tells Ezekiel over there a similar thing. He says, he said, "Tell them preachers that I will cause them to cease from feeding the flock." I want to tell you a little story right quickly of somebody around here that come up among the ranks. They were going to be the next big thing. They went off to seminary. They learned how to preach and how to hold their hand and how to hold your attention. And they done it with a New American Standard Bible. And they was a Bible corrector galore and claimed they knew the Greek and all this other stuff. But they didn't tell nobody there was no the Greek. That was just a Greek text their college professor gave them. That was the Nestle's 26th edition. They've since come out with two more and corrected that one. How are you going to have 28 editions of something and say that's the best one? You're going to talk about, listen, you're going to revise it 28 times, lie and call it an edition, and you worried about this book right here? Sound like you're a Bible phobist. Got Bible phobia. You afraid of the Bible, ain't you? You hate the Bible. Went around telling everybody the next big thing. They got in a little church about 2 years. They moved another 2 years. Finally, they got out of the ministry altogether. Nobody misses them. Why? God never called them. God never called them. There's been others who's come into churches just like us that had an agenda. They've come in claiming they were just like us. And the next thing you know, they depart and go completely in another direction. And now they're out of the ministry. How come they're out of the ministry? Because God shut them down. God will shut you down. God will shut this place down if he gets away from this book. The saddest churches we have in Cherokee County are not the ones that shut down tonight. The saddest ones are the ones that are still open and they're not doing what God said. Remember when Mitch Knupp debated that little guy in the skinny jeans about the King James Bible? Did y'all see that online? If you watch the question and answer session, the very last thing that was said, probably the most telling thing of the whole thing. That guy Kyle that does that podcast, that 1611 King James Bible Defense podcast, he said, "I have a question." He said, "Are you willing to face the judgment seat of Christ with what you've said tonight?" God never answered his question. You know why? He knows. He knows. Here's the thing. Whether he knows or not, he has to. If you're saved at all, you face God with all that. You and I've got a divine responsibility, and that's to propagate the gospel and tell people about Jesus. And then we get them saved, we need to teach them right, not teach them wrong. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we do love you.